Please be seated. The second reading is Psalm 71. In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me, rescue me, incline your ear to me, and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me, for you are my rock, you are my fortress. Rescue me, O God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel. For you, O Lord, you are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from my birth. It was you who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is always with you. I have been like a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all day long. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength is spent. So, age. It's been called the last segregation. It is a segregation based on the fear of growing old and the denial of death. This fear, it leads society to emphasize youth in the media, youth in organizations, youth in culture, while segregating elders to rest homes, to nursing facilities, to hospitals. Carolyn Heilbrunn, she says, it is only past the meridian of 50 that one can believe that the universal sense of death applies to everyone and to oneself. Loved ones around us, they die. And though they are not always elders, most of the time they are up there in years, family members and friends, colleagues. And when we attend their funerals, we are brought face to face with getting older and our eventual demise. Our culture continues this age discrimination. And as I read in the last AARP magazine, and yes, I get that, the insulting language alone is there towards our elders, and it reiterates this segregation. Elders are called fossils, old school folks, geezers, digitally illiterate. To even use the word old implies out of date, old hat, old ideas, old fashioned. When we meet a friend we haven't seen in a long time, you might use this phrase, well, you haven't aged at all. Language is indeed a problem. Mary Pfeiffer, she wrote a book called Another Country, Navigating the Emotional Terrain of Our Elders. And she explains that old people are referred to as biddy or codger. And there are those cutesy words to describe the aged, like oldster, chronologically challenged, curmudgeon, and senior citizen. People describe themselves as 80 years young, and even retirement. Retirement is an ugly word. It implies passivity and uselessness and withdrawing from the social and the working world. Many of the old are offended by ageist stereotypes, jokes, and some internalize these beliefs and they feel badly about themselves. They stay with their own kind in gated communities in order to avoid being judged by younger people. And further, in our American culture, the old are held to often ridiculous standards. They are admired for not being a bother and for being optimistic, though younger people are not held to these high standards. To say, he did that because he is old, is often as narrow as to say, he did that because he's black or because she is Chinese. Young people lock keys in their cars. They forget appointments. They write overdrafts on their checking accounts. People who are my age, they go into ditches and can't get out. I was talking to Robin about that just up here a little bit. How was that ditch, John? But I said, now that's a future sermon, Robin, because the future sermon has to do with being good Samaritans, because, well, I'll just say it, those who were helping me out of that ditch were from all walks of life. There was a younger person, I would call the other two probably around my age, which is getting to the late 60s, and then there was a gentleman that pulled me out of this other drift I got stuck in, and he was in a big car, and on the back of his car it had a Trump, not to get political, a Trump sticker. So you have different politics, you have different ages, you have different people probably with a different. So all of these good Samaritans, people who are there to help you, get out of that ditch in our neighborhood. Without them, I'd probably be stuck there right now. So you've got to understand what it is when you're in desperate need, who comes to help you. But again, that's for another sermon. Back to getting old. Anyway, when older people do some of these things, like getting into the ditch or like writing those checks that bounce, they experience a sort of double jeopardy, if you think about it. Their mistakes are not viewed as accidents, but rather as a loss of functioning. Catherine and I, we get upset with television shows and movies that portray the old trying to be young, putting them in all-terrain vehicles or on these fast-moving motorcycles, as well as having our elders using profanity or moving saggy hips to the Bee Gees, Staying Alive. These shows are painful. They're embarrassing to watch just as much as the shows that portray the elderly as sexless, demented, toothless, behaving in childlike ways. Other shows portray the old as overly sentimental, naive, gossipy, ill-behaved. Birthday and anniversary cards, they point out the problems of age. With age comes wisdom. Of course, that doesn't make up for what you lose. There are jokes about hearing loss and continence. There are cards about false teeth, gray hair, hair loss, wrinkles. There are cards about preferring chocolate or sleep to sex. To be fair, some jokes and stories, they are tolerable. And I couldn't resist but sharing this one, so I'm going to share it, and you can judge me afterwards during fellowship hour. This one is about a wife who accompanied her husband to his physician's office, and after the exam, the doctor called her privately into his office, and he said, "Your husband is getting older. He is suffering from a very serious condition, which will be substantially worsened by any stress whatsoever. In fact, you are the only one that can keep him alive. This is what you need to do, or he'll be dead within a year. Each morning, cook him an elaborate but healthy breakfast. During those early morning hours, always be pleasant and playful and accommodate every one of his wishes. Similarly, make lunch and dinner not only nutritious, but also festive and blissful occasions. And don't burden him with any chores. You do them all. Don't bother him with your problems. Make love with him daily. And in short, be right there to accommodate his every whim. If for the next 12 months you do all that, he'll recover from his illness and be completely healthy. As they were walking out of the physician's office, the husband asked his wife, "Well, what did the doctor say?" And she replied, "That you're going to die." Now, so there's your just joke. There's a wonderful book. It's by Simone Beauvoir. She wrote about France in the 1600s. This will give you some perspective, I think. The average lifespan in France in the 1600s was 23 years. Horrible labor conditions and bad hygiene and severe undernourishment led to early deaths. And those who survived longer, they gave up their homes to their children. In Ireland, the old were moved into a room called the Western Chamber, and the adult children took over the rest of the house. I'm waiting for the time for that to happen to the Dowds. In other cultures, the responses were quite extreme. In Greenland, for example, the aged, and I'm going to try to say this properly, Amas Alek, they killed themselves so they wouldn't be a burden. And when they could no longer keep up, the Hmong people of China were left with food and opium on mountain trails, and then they were abandoned there. But in other societies, de Beauvoir said, old people, they were valued. They were a source of stored knowledge. The Aleuts had great respect for their elders. They taught them traditions. They taught them how to fish, how to survive. The Kikuyu created sayings about their aged population. One of the sayings, an old person doesn't spit without a reason. Old people don't tell lies. De Beauvoir also found a strong relationship between the compassionate treatment of the old and the care for the young. The children who grew up with love and nurture also tended to their parents and to their grandparents the same way. Mary Pfeiffer, she presents an example of the people on the island of Okinawa. She says, the Okinawans, they have great respect for the elders. The old stay in their own homes. The old socialize with friends, with family, and they keep working a few hours a day. A 90-year-old woman still sells fish. Friends will buy a little from her so that she knows that she is useful. An 80-year-old housekeeper will stop over to make sweet potato pancakes and sweep the steps. Many people live to be more than 100, and they stay in remarkably good health. The average age of death for the Okinawan women is 84. Among people who stay in the island, there's little cancer, osteoporosis, or stroke. In his book, The Dull Knives of Pine Ridge, Joe Starita speaks of how most Americans view the elderly, and in contrast, how the Lakota tribe views elders. And he begins by saying that there is a complete worldview difference in the words the elderly and elders. He explains that the Lakota, they believe that if elders do not stay connected to the young, cultures will disintegrate. Older people tell stories that teach lessons that keep culture alive. Because wisdom is highly valued among the Lakota, as they age, the more they are loved. Older equals wiser equals most respected. He marvels that the Lakota, a poor society, have so much generosity, time, money for their elders. There is a richness of caring, a spiritual wealth, and overwhelming connection between the old and the young. There is an old legend that addresses age and wisdom and tells of a primordial time when people had so abused their wisdom and so twisted the good within them that the angels met together, decided that for the time being, ancient wisdom and authentic goodness needed to be hidden from human beings, lest they pervert them. Where would they hide them? One angel suggested burying them deep in the earth, but the other said that it would be only a matter of time before humans would dig down and find them. Another suggested, let's hide these in the bottom of the ocean. But that was rejected because the human fascination with bodies of water, it was bound to bring out ocean exploration, and there they would be found. For the same reason, outer space was ruled out as a hiding place. Finally, one angel came up with the perfect solution. She said, we must hide the source of authentic goodness and ancient wisdom deep inside of human beings themselves. By everything I've seen of them and know of them, the last place they would expect to find goodness and wisdom is in themselves. And that's exactly where it remains hidden to this day, both young and old. The point is, authentic goodness and age-old righteousness and ancient wisdom are all within us and around us, even as we meet for worship right here this morning, whether we realize it or not. And while we as Congregationalists celebrate our freedom, our autonomy, our self-sufficiency, we sometimes miss the key point in our name. Congregationalists celebrate the congregation. That is our relational ministry and our power as partners, as priests to each other. This ministry is not hierarchical or vertical, but relational or horizontal. And further, this ministry connects the generations in ways where education takes place from young to old and old to young. I want you to think about the Waltons. Even when babies are baptized, and we've had a few of those lately, even when babies are baptized, we honor the sacred ways that newborns, fresh from God, how those babies bless us all. And so in some degree, we are all independent and dependent, but what is most necessary is that we become interdependent. That is to say, we have been nurtured and loved by others, and are likewise obligated to feed our ancient wisdom, our authentic goodness to the next generation. We can say to our elders, you need us now, but we needed you, and we will need our children. We need one another. Others are in need of us. Our kindness and care for elders comes from respect and gratitude. Their kindness and care for us redefines courage and sacrifice by showing us how to cope with growing older. The psalmist says, do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength is spent. By recognizing our independence, we can always remain green and full of sap. Amen. Let us pray in the silence. And I have a meditation that was generously given to me by Margie Annis, and it's called An Elder's Pledge. And I'm going to share that after our time of silence. Let us pray. We will not be judged by the values of youth. We will not be expelled from work or play. We will not equate aging with illness. We will not be subject matter for experts. We will not be the objects of condescension. We will not be defined as a social or an economic problem. We will not be trivialized. We will not be docile. We will not be interned. We will support one another. We will grow and learn. We will maintain a sense of humor. We will cooperate across generations to create a better world. We will nurture and guide the young. We will contribute according to our abilities. We will be proud.